Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 306. Before we get to Stairway, I have a sports-related question for Wheels and for the whole crew. So, you know, I'm very nostalgic, right? I mean, it's one of the things that just, like, defines me. Like, for example, I'm nostalgic for the way that my studio sounded last Thursday.
Oh, boy, days.
To have that time back.
You don't know what you got till it's gone.
You don't know till she's walking out that door.
Really don't. Edith Bunker and sing Those Were the Days.
Come back, studio. Come back, Mike, that didn't sound like a running toilet.
Come back.
Come back. Talk back ability to talk to your producer.
Come back, Shane.
Take me with you. Take me to Thursday. Anyway, I'm watching a little bit of football this weekend, and I know a little bit about the pro game, just being friends with Bulger and having sat with him. Wheels, you would have loved this. One time when he was injured, which was a lot, we were up in a suite, and he had all the plays. And he would be like, okay, this next one, third down and four, is going to be an X-19. You're going to see Torrey Holt run an in and out, blah, 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 blah. And it would happen. You're like, damn, that's so cool. And I was thinking about the olden days when I was a kid, when like Johnny Unitas and Fran Tarkington and Roger Staubach called their own plays. And just, again, feeling so nostalgic for a time, like, it was better then. And it probably wasn't even close to as good back then.
No. Did you watch football back then as an adult? Well, no, because it would seem better. If you watched that football now, like a whole game, you'd be like, ugh.
Bored to death?
Not much happening. Not much happening. Now, those were some of the greats. They were good at that kind of stuff. But what about the 15, 20 other guys that weren't? That were quarterbacks that were calling their own plays and had no idea what they were doing and weren't very good.
When did that change for the most part?
You know, I think it's been a gradual progression, but I think the things got more complicated the more they loosened up the rules on the forward pass, right? Because early on, you weren't even allowed to do it, and then it was a new thing. So probably the 80s. You know, probably the dawn of the West Coast offense with the San Francisco 49ers and everybody else kind of building off of that. It's probably the beginning of the more complex coach-controlled version of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just one of the many things I'm nostalgic about.
Yeah.
Stairway to Kevin.
All right. Are you nostalgic about weddings?
Sure.
No, no. So, you guys, we've done these stories, similar stories before, where...
Oh, by the way, Phoebe told me she wants a really small wedding. So.
Oh, hey, God, you raised a good one, Dave.
Yeah, great
this actually
she
ties
married some rich kid, I'm going to be so mad.
Yeah, then he could pay for it.
Parents will look down on us like, oh, church's chicken.
Those are the best ones, though. This is one of those stories about a wedding that has everybody divided. I somehow it got mentioned on my timeline, and I don't get wedding things. So clearly this is like people are talking about it, and they're fighting about it if you read the comments on the tweet. But this is a woman, she's the bride in this case, who tweeted that she and her husband spent $60,000 on a wedding with a guest count of 270 people. And they worked and they pushed bills off to the side to make sure that they could do it. The only loan they took out to do it was from her mom. And of course, she says that she's demanding the money back by the end of the month. So obviously, that's a little weird. Your mom could give you a little leeway, I would hope. But the complaint was this. They had to cancel their honeymoon because they didn't get enough cash in the gifts that they were expecting to get. And people are trashing them for saying, well, why are you budgeting the cash gifts to pay for your honeymoon? If you can't afford it, then you shouldn't be planning a honeymoon to begin with. But I'm on their side on this one. So check this out. 270 guests. Their cash gift total added up to $3,000. $11 a guest was their average gift. Now, I don't know about what you guys think, but they said that they were planning, in this message, she says, we were planning on something around $10,000, which would still be only about $35 a person. I don't think that's unreasonable. I don't think it's unreasonable
for them. I've been to a wedding in so long, I don't know what's normal.
Yeah, I mean, normally the standard is kind of like you pay for the cost of the meal, essentially. So you kind of guess, right? Okay, it's probably $45.
Is this in addition to a gift?
No, see, now they can be separate, but you're not going to tell me that 270 people got them a toaster. And there were arguments like, well, what about a shower? Some of those people, yeah, some of them did, but you don't have 270 people at a shower. Usually it's just a couple dozen people that are at those types of wedding showers.
I've had three people in
the shower. A little
different
thing.
A couple dozen, very impressive.
I don't think it's crazy to think that you would get from a wedding of that with that many guests. It's not crazy to think that you would average $35 a person as a gift. Because again,
they're mad just because they were expecting it.
Well, and they were. That's what people are like. Well, why would you expect anything? Like, because people bring gifts to weddings. Have you ever gone to a wedding? Now, you might have an example, like when I was young, in my 20s, when people went to my wedding when they were in their 20s,
yeah.
My buddies weren't giving me a lot of money. They would buy the gift. They would buy the cheapest gift they could get.
Yes.
That's fine. The guidelines that I've always heard and we've always abided by is you do at least what you think the cost of your meal would be. So if there's two of you and you think it's $50, okay, we're going to give you $100. But the closer you are to the person, the more you give them,
mm-hmm.
right? So if it's a close family member, maybe it's a couple $100 or it's $400 or $500 or whatever.
Weddings have passed me by.
Yeah, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I understand every complaint, and I think it's crazy to spend $60,000 on a wedding if you don't have the money, right? That's a separate thing. But I don't think you're...
It's almost like it's an investment.
It's probably more than it should be. I don't remember what ours was. I mean, it was so long. It was 30 years ago, so I don't remember the actual number or how it would relate. But it wouldn't be a $60,000 wedding. We didn't go stupid on that. And we didn't have 270 people at it either, I don't think. It was probably under 200.
Rach, thoughts?
What does the bride want any of us to do for her is my question.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, I get that mm-hmm. it's disappointing. I get that you thought you were going to make more from your celebration. It is frustrating that there were clearly tons of people who showed up and didn't give a gift. That's wrong. You should give a gift if you're going to a wedding like that. But it's also, it's not... You can't rely on that and then turn around and be like, and because of you, I don't get to have a honeymoon. Like, that's not how it works. I'm sorry, but that's not how it works. You could have budgeted it out of the total wedding cost.
Yeah, have a $50,000
yeah.
wedding.
I think it's a little... I mean, everyone thinks everything is tacky when it comes to weddings. Everyone's always going to make some sort of slip up where it's like, you're breaking the wedding etiquette. But I find it pretty tacky to go on the internet and then complain that you didn't get what you wanted. That's not very gracious of you as a host, I don't think.
I think that's fair, but I also think that that's pretty awful that you got an average of $11 a person at your wedding.
I agree, but clearly there were some people who brought a gift, so then it's like, oh, I'm assuming she went online and made a video about it, and that's how everyone knows about it, or made a post about it.
I think it was a Reddit post, and it was asking, it was kind of it sounds like it was an advice thing, almost like an AMA, where, you know, am I wrong? Have any of you dealt with this, and am I wrong for feeling this way? Is kind of the question. And I would say partly, yes, you're wrong, because if you can't afford a honeymoon without that money, then you shouldn't have a $60,000 wedding.
Correct.
See, I think that's why I think there's two true things here. But I feel like that's really a low amount of money for a wedding of 270 people.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean,
how old were they? Do we know?
It doesn't say. It doesn't say. It doesn't give any age or doesn't give any idea of what their age is.
Am I just an old man that I don't think that 23-year-olds should be expecting a $10,000 honeymoon?
No, I think that's fair. I will say this. I wonder if they said, like, oh, no gifts, thinking, oh, people will just bring cash. But for some people, that means no gifts, you know.
I mean, I don't know. I am at the same time critical of their naivete for thinking we're going to put on this big party and we're going to pay for our honeymoon with the party, right? Like,
yeah.
That is an absolutely naive, silly thing to
do.
I'm
glad we did this story, because I've not been to a wedding in 20 years, and if I had gone to one, I would be lost, because, like, okay, am I going to go to Things Remembered? And you know what I mean? It's like, what am I going to do here? And had I given money, I wouldn't have known to give that much money.
Yeah, and if you search it out, like, people will tell you the average amount spent on a wedding gift depending on your relationship with the person,
yeah,
is between 50 and 200. So the more you know them, the closer you are to them, the higher it goes, the less you know.
So it really is kind of an investment on whoever's paying for the wedding, whether it's mom, dad, both, or the people getting married.
Right.
And you are investing, let's say, 60 grand to make 20 grand for the kids.
A lot of that is what happens. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I know that, you know, I don't remember the amounts because it was so long ago, but we had a pretty good amount of cash in addition to the people that bought gifts. They were separate things. Now, we didn't have that many people, so I don't think it was, I don't remember the exact number that we ended up getting, but it wasn't a number where you're like, oh, put it this way. This woman said the lowest gift amount they got from somebody was $10.
Mm-hmm.
30 years ago, we didn't get a gift from anybody that was $10. Nobody gave less than 25, 30 bucks, which would have been at that
time.
Maybe
they don't like them.
Which could be, but then why are you going to the wedding?
Yeah.
You know what it kind of reminds me of is every Christmas, it's like, I'm going to throw a Christmas feast for my family, but I'm charging them $25 a head. Like that, this smacks of that to me, where it's like, hey, if you're hosting something, you can't necessarily count on other people to do the thing that you want them to do. The one who threw the party.
I wonder if it's a generational thing, like younger, because to me, the expectation was, if I'm accepting an invitation to go to your wedding, I am agreeing that I'm giving you a gift.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's the agreement. I don't know that, because I mean, the way you look at it is, if I just went out to dinner, I would spend that money anyway. So you're getting the bare minimum of what I would spend to go have that food.
Like, if you have to invest money to go to a wedding,
that's a different thing.
Yeah, I don't think you should ask for gifts if you're having a destination wedding.
Great call. In fact, that should be the one where you say, do not give us any gifts. No money, no gifts, no nothing. The gift is you're paying you to get to our wedding. I think that's a absolutely fair way. And if you're doing the destination wedding, make that clear to people.
I remember having a girlfriend in law school and a girlfriend that was a girl. And we used to make fun of people who had fancy weddings. And her theory was the more fancy it is, the less chance that the marriage is going to work. And then fast forward about a year. And as we're graduating law school, she got married and she pulled up in a crystal carriage. And we made eye contact.
No.
And that's all we had to do is make eye contact. She gave me a look like, I know.
Yeah.
I know. And she got divorced.
Really?
Yeah.
So she fulfilled her own theory.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
Pretty much. Thank you to listener Kathleen, who gave $250 to Operation Food Search today through her local Hardee's. That is the magic number. Now, I don't expect you to do any more than a buck, but if you can do more than that, that would be fantastic. But $250 on behalf of she and her family is going to pay for one child for an entire year to have the backpack program. So the whole summer, all the time, 52 weeks out of the year, they're going to have food to take home on the weekends for them and their siblings, which they would not have, but they're going to have it because of Kathleen. That's pretty damn cool. Going back to what I talked to Rammer about a little bit with going through this with Phoebe, 19 years old, trying to figure out what she wants to be, baker, candlestick maker, whatever, what have you. Not would you guys do something different if you could do it over again, but would you, knowing what you know now, having the wisdom of an older person, would you attack the problem differently than you did before of what you're going to do for a living?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
What would you do?
I probably would have went into law school. I think I would have really enjoyed being a lawyer.
You would have.
Yeah, I always was, like, attracted to it, like, as a kid. But then, like I said yesterday, like, then you find out there's extra school. I'm like, oh, never mind. And just kind of put it out of my mind, which is very lazy. But also, I was a child, so I cut myself a little bit of a break. But no, like, especially, like, being on the show and hearing you talk about the law and hearing Chet talk about the law and all, you know, like, Donald Trump's legal troubles. You just kind of learn about how the system works through that. I think I would have really enjoyed it. So I probably would have just majored in something else. Mm-hmm. Probably would have went to law school.
Yeah. Wheels, how about you?
You guys hate me, so
he's gonna
I'm
do
not
it. He's going to do it.
He wouldn't change a darn thing.
Not one
That's okay.
Brick in
That's
the wall.
Cool.
But
like,
I followed what I knew I wanted to. I mean, like...
Well, you're rare.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, with my own kid, it wasn't exactly like that. It was more of, you got to find out what you want to do.
Yeah.
And then follow the path when you catch the interest.
What advice would you give a 19-year-old... who just said, dude, I don't know what the hell I want to do for a living?
Well, I mean, you get, first of all, find the three or four things that interest you the most, regardless of what they are, what interests you, because you're more likely going to want to stick with it and follow through and be excellent at something
that
you like.
So give yourself a chance to do what you love.
Well, yeah, I mean, like what Rachel's talking about, what is she saying about the law there? She's saying it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I realize that that's something that if you find that, even if it's a hard job, even if it takes going to law school or medical school or whatever, at least if there's a passion, the work feels better. Right. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Now, the thing that I chose wasn't academically challenging at all. Like a broadcast journalism degree is not like, oh, my God, I'm going to be buried in the books. But it's a hard career to stay in.
Yes. Yes.
And it's a hard career to get into.
Yes.
So it's a different set of challenges that comes along with it. But if you're following a path when you're young and you're figuring out these are three or four things that I really like, your passion will always lead you to want to do the work, and to be good at anything, you got to do the work.
I still think they should take my idea, and the senior year in high school should be four different internships.
Yeah.
Everyone does the same three, like do something in business, do something in healthcare, do something in social services, and then have one that you can pick. Like Rachel arranges, I'm going to go work for Noel Sebastianos for 3 months, and I'm going to see what I think of being a lawyer. I think that would be an absolute game changer.
It doesn't even have to be instead of school. It can just be like, okay, we're going to take away a few things and add this instead. Because experience in those things matters. Because sometimes seeing how the sausage is made, like, I don't want to be a sausage maker. I'm a lonely boy. Someone better call
a hearse. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
334 DGS. Just a few glimpses. Continued apologies. We're just dealing with a new board in here, and nothing sounds the way it's supposed to. Nothing works the way it's supposed to. And it just puts you in a bad mood. And we're always honest with you guys, and you're not supposed to talk about things behind the scenes, but for 24 years, I've talked about things behind the scenes in my own life, in work life, in the studio, and I just think it humanizes us and the DGS, and you relate to it. And just, like, imagine, like, whatever it is you guys do, and you're sitting there trying to do your TPS reports, and someone keeps poking you in the shoulder, you're like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, what are you doing? Hey, what are you doing? Like, eventually you're like, you have to stop this. I can't do my job. And that's kind of what it's like. We have the sound of a toilet that is running through my mic. And so, like, here, I'm going to turn my mic off.
Wow, it really does go away.
And it goes away. And it goes away. And then it comes back. And it's just, like, maddening. So... anywho.
Yeah.
Dave Murray couldn't be with us today because no one can be with us today. And so we have a live look from Dave.
Could not be with you live today, but we're dealing with a fairly quiet weather pattern. A pretty day today. However, tonight, more and more clouds take over. No rain. Let's keep this evening dry. Let's keep the overnight dry. But on Wednesday, a little cool front coming in. It's a relatively slow-moving system. It's got a little moisture to work with. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies. Let's look for some rain showers developing on Wednesday afternoon, 61. Fading rain showers Wednesday night. I think most of the showers are gone by about 10 o'clock at night Wednesday night as we go down to 46. We'll clear out late. Thursday, sunny skies, not bad. 59. Friday, sunny and 62 degrees. Now, the full moon is coming up this week. The full moon of November is Friday night. It is known as the Beaver Moon. Also, we have to start to notice that the temperatures are starting to step down a little bit day and night. That's very typical in the month of November. As for some cold air, like a shot of cold air, maybe something starting to develop around the 20th or 21st of November. So we've got that on the table. We'll see if that starts to pan out. Be with you live tomorrow, guys. Thanks a lot.
It's been some pretty great weather as far as like not paying power bills. You know, like I have all my windows open and no furnace, no air conditioner. In fact, Nick's air conditioner went out where used to live, Rach. And the landlord just said, like, we'll fix it in the spring. Yeah, great.
There you go.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. Like, you don't have to worry about that at all. Before we do headlines, is Mike Tyson fighting the internet kid or not?
Yep. Yeah.
Friday.
I was just thinking about that. That's so, well, whenever he said the Beaver Moon on Friday, I was like, that's when the Paul Tyson fight is.
But what are we, realistically, what are we expecting from this? Like a real fight?
Well, here's the, I'll go through that part first, okay? So they're going to be two-minute rounds instead of three-minute rounds.
Fair enough.
Okay, Mike Tyson is almost 60.
It's a long time to box.
And he hasn't fought in like 30 years, or not 30, it's 20, something like that. He was just under 40 the last time he fought. So it's been about 20 years since he fought a real fight. He did do an exhibition with Roy Jones a few years ago, but that was just, again, exhibition. Yeah. This is a sanctioned fight in the state of Texas. So this is a professional fight. They're going to be using heavier gloves than usual. So normally, like at heavyweight, you're using 10-ounce gloves. They're using 14-ounce gloves. That impacts. It's a little less impact
brutal
on your face when you're getting hit. And they're only going 8 rounds. So it's going to be a shorter version of what you would think of as a heavyweight fight.
But do you think Mike Tyson will go after him? Or do you think that there's been discussions like, don't hit Mr. Paul in the face?
I don't know about it that way, but my worry is that they both treat it like it's just for funsies.
Yeah.
And if it's that case, then it's going to be boring as hell. It's not going to be very good. If it's a case where Mike's saying, nope, I'm going to knock this punk out, and then that punk is thinking, nope, I'm going to knock this old man out, that could be fun. Because then, who knows? Because then it's the ultimate, all right, the one of the all-time greats, legit trained heavyweight professional, has been the heavyweight champion of the world, but he's old. He's got the expertise, the resume, he's strong, but you know, when you're in your 50s, you're not what you are when you're in your 20s and 30s versus a guy who's in his late 20s who is not really all that well trained. He just kind of picked up boxing after he got rich and got some money, but he's fought quote unquote professional fights against people that weren't really boxers. You know, he's fought some MMA guys that aren't boxers. They're more grapplers or whatever.
I know he's making a lot of money from it.
Both of them are making tons of money from this.
Is it Logan Paul?
Yeah.
Okay, so I know he's making
it's Jake. Jake,
Paul.
I'm Jake
sorry. Paul. Sorry, it's Jake. I don't know. The same.
But if I were as rich as he is and as young and healthy as he is, I wouldn't be boxing anyone, much less Mike Tyson.
I mean, I can see why you would want to box. I don't know if you want to put yourself on the line because there's no win in that. For him, right? I mean, the win for Jake Paul is, oh, you beat a 58-year-old dude.
Yeah.
And you can brag and say, it's Mike Tyson, but he's 30 years older than you, you know? And I don't see that there's a win for Tyson.
Yeah, when I was 25, I could have beaten a 60-year-old Carl Lewis. And I was nowhere near a Carl Lewis, but 60 and 25 are pretty far apart.
Yeah, and look, it's fascinating because of that, right? Because if it was pro against pro, this would not be fun. It would be Mike Tyson getting whooped. But I don't think we qualify Jake Paul as a pro fighter. He's not in the ranks. He's not fighting ranked fighters. He's not trying to come up the ranks and fight real
Sideshow
people.
Stuff.
He's basically doing exhibitions to make money. And they're called professional because that's how you're going to make the money. And you want to make it look like it's official. But if it were real, he'd be going in the weight class that he wants to be in and fighting all of the listed people that are ranked.
How does this happen and everyone's pissed?
If it's just boring and it's a hug fest and nobody hits anybody, and then at the end of it, you're like, well, that was nothing.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be the most watched fight ever? Just because it's on Netflix it's going to bring... I mean, I'm going to watch it. I've never watched a fight in my life.
I think it has a chance. I don't know if it'll be the most watched ever, but it has a chance to be at the top of that list for a whole bunch of reasons. One, it's on Netflix and they have like 270 million subscribers. Two, it bridges generations, right? Like, there are a lot of Jake Paul fans that don't watch boxing, but they'll watch this.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, there are a lot of boxing fans that want to see Tyson beat his ass.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my group. I hope that happens.
I've never watched something live on Netflix.
Yeah, and they've never done anything live. This is the first live sporting event they've done.
Okay.
So, we'll see, man. We'll see what matters the most. Because, look, we can guarantee you this. Mike is strong. If you've seen him... I mean, he is strong. He's jacked. He's doing all the training that he normally would. But the question is a lot about, like, what's changed, right? Like, speaking for myself, things that have changed athletically for me would be your first step quickness isn't what it used to be. Well, in boxing, if your first move is diminished at all, that can be the difference between getting hit or doing the hitting. You know, and then if that becomes a trend... You know, I saw a guy talking about this, a doctor talking about this fight, saying part of the concern here is that when you're older, like Tyson is, that the punches can do more damage to you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So some new studies are sounding the alarm about the financial stability of Gen Z. A Federal Reserve study says that 1 in 7 Gen Zers is maxed out on their credit cards. Mm-hmm. And a new report from Bank of America says nearly half are getting financial assistance from their parents or family members. According to that Bank of America survey, 52% of more than 1,000 Gen Z adults who were surveyed said they don't make enough money to live the life they want.
You know, I didn't start making money until I was about 40 and have still not been great with it. I'm always really honest about that. I like to buy things on eBay. But looking back, it's not easy to be financially responsible and solvent, but it's pretty straightforward. You know, like if I had to do over again when I was in my mid-20s, if I would have been making money back then, I would have sought out help, you know, from a financial person and followed it, and I'd be retired now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It just, that last bit makes me feel so bad. They don't make enough money to live the life they want. I just remember what it was like being in my early 20s and not making any money and being pretty unhappy about that. Yeah. You know, there are just certain things where it's like, oh, man. And then especially in the age of social media, so much of what you see on social media is just like, hey, look how much money I have. Isn't it great? So I am, again, lucky that I escaped most of that in those early years, but it must be tough.
It's so, like, we all know this. When people on social media see your wealth, they just hate you. No one's like, oh my gosh, look how cool Rachel is. She must be really doing well and she's going to Japan or she just bought a new car. No one does that. Your family does that maybe. It's so often like, oh really? So you think you're this or you think you're that. We show off for each other and it doesn't work is what I'm trying to say. It has the opposite effect.
Pandemic drinking actually ended up lasting 4 years. There was a new study published Monday in the Annals of Internal Medicine, and it claims that drinking increases from 2018 to 2020 persisted into 2022. Potential causes of this include normalization of and adaption to increased drinking due to stress from the pandemic and disrupted access to medical services.
Don't you think when Rachel and Andrew are my age, though, we'll still be talking about COVID? I mean, not just like remember COVID, but we'll be really sussing out the effects that it had on kids and the effect it had on adults and marriages and the whole thing.
I mean, I can't think of a bigger event that has happened in my lifetime. Yeah. Like worldwide, completely changed whole entire things about generations and years of kids and adults, and I mean it changed so much.
They're apples and oranges, and it's I shouldn't even be saying it because, you know, they're apples and oranges, but to me COVID had a bigger, longer, more comprehensive effect on the country than even 9/11 did. 9/11 was jarring and a real kick in the balls and a real, you know, come to Jesus kind of moment for us, but I don't feel like it lasted as long in the psyche.
We're not that far out of COVID yet, though, so we don't know how long that's going to go. But also, like, we just literally ended the wars that we started after 9/11. But that wasn't our day-to-day visual, right? And that's the difference. The difference is that led to a lot of stuff happening across the oceans.
Yes.
And it was big, and it was expensive, and it cost American lives, and it cost lives in those other countries, too. But it wasn't on your doorstep. COVID was at your doorstep.
Yeah.
A study finds that 8 in 10 veterans would use psychedelics for mental health support. Their response highlights the need for alternative therapies for mental health healing.
Whatever works. Whatever helps.
We'll do one more story here. Everything's bigger in Texas, and their 95-foot holiday tree is no exception. On Monday morning, crews began assembling the tallest indoor Christmas tree in the United States at the Galleria Dallas. It's 95 feet tall, and it'll be constructed over the course of the week by a team of about 50 workers. It'll be accessorized with more than 200,000 lights, thousands of decorations, and a 10-foot star that weighs 100 pounds.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Like a big Christmas tree.
3:53 coming up the top of the hour. We have the think tank. We have Kurt Barr and Rainford is going to fill in, right? We had Braxton Payne, and he ran into some issues and he couldn't make it in today. We wish everyone the best there on his end of things, and Rainford will be here to fill in for Braxton.
Mm-hmm.
The list of the top 10 sexiest bald men in the world is out, and guess what?
You're number one.
Shut out again.
Yeah.
Shut out again.
Who are they even asking? They
just, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yep, there you go. Copy and paste.
Some of the highlights. Stanley Tucci.
Okay.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
Everybody likes that guy.
Samuel L. Jackson.
All right.
Okay.
This one hurts. Danny DeVito.
Oh, the sexiest. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Shaq.
All right.
The Rock.
Yeah. Okay.
And the number one sexiest bald man in the world, Prince William.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, come on.
Nerd.
Get out of here.
Thanks for having my back.
Yeah.
I'm always in competition with that guy.
Prince William.
You, nerd. Prince William, and Danny DeVito always neck and neck.
Always.
Pretty much everything you do.
1, 2, and 3. All the time.
What if Prince William and Danny DeVito had a Tyson Paul fight kind of thing?
I think they had a baby.
It'd probably look like me.
Yeah, like that movie with Arnold. But Prince William. Anyway.
Twins?
Yeah, he didn't have Danny DeVito. He was his brother.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking of another one where he was pregnant.
It's Arnold and his son, Danny DeVito.
I haven't seen the film.
Clearly.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.